Welcome to WHO, an empowered family advancing the Father's culture in all the earth. The following is a podcast of our Sunday gathering. For more resources or to connect with us, visit whocenterpa.com.
Was told to start. So I'm going to start somewhere. I don't know where. Before you started singing, your heart was already singing. You were already crying out. And that scripture, it's almost like a magical, mystical thing that we say it, but it's kind of like too far out. We want to believe it. We want to believe that the earth really is. Crying out for the sons of God to arise. But it seems so crazy. It's so unnatural. But as soon as he started, I heard you. I heard your heart. Answering. Crying. so overwhelming I couldn't stand up. All I could do was just cry. Ugly cry. And a lot of you guys know this phrase, but it's been in my heart all week. I haven't even spoken it. If I do, I always get emotional. But you guys know the Moravian anthem, right? Some of you, I know you know that. It simply says, "May the Lamb of God receive the reward of his suffering." I feel so strongly that the earth is crying out now. It's crying out for the sons and daughters, but it's saying, "May he receive the reward of his suffering." That reward is you. That reward is the sons and daughters that he's been longing for. When he said, "For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross," and that never made sense to me. But that's crazy. For the joy of being torn to pieces and brutally murdered, he endured all that. And one day the Lord showed me what that joy was. That he looked 2,000 years down the road and saw you. And that was the joy that was set before him. It was the day that sons and daughters finally arise and finally take their place and finally become who they're called to be, who they were created to be. I think he saw it's a process. He loved all the people all the way, but I really believe he saw the day that the sons and daughters finally heard the cry of the creation. Will you rise? Will you stand up? Will you be me in the earth? Will you represent my Father's heart in the earth? And this morning I heard you answer. I heard you say, "Can you hear us, sir? Are you listening? Because the sons and daughters are here." It was so overwhelming. I couldn't even sing with you. I could just feel his heart, because he was wide open, just taking you in, just pulling you inside of him, and saying, "You don't know how long I've been waiting for this. You don't know how precious this is to me. Because finally I'm starting to receive the reward. My suffering." So, sons and daughters, I kneel before you and I honor you, sons of Adam. Kings, queens, you are a royal priesthood, and you're worthy of honor. And I want to say thank you. Thank you for giving him the reward of his suffering. And thank you for calling the Son out in me and out in these people in this room and out in those people that you affect every day. I honor you. And I believe our Father is pleased. I think I can say that with 100% certainty. That there's a big smile on his face when he looks in this place. I know I needed the mic. I just can't get up. I felt God was going to have me share today, and ever since last night, and all of a sudden it's not what I thought. All you. I have, for many, many years, God has burdened me. I feel in like the prophets of old. It's everybody, you're missing the point. You're missing the message of Jesus. It's not about being saved. It's not about going to heaven. Read it. He's talked. He preached the kingdom, the good news of the kingdom. It was his passion. He wept over it. Wanted to see it come. Told us to pray. Pray that the kingdom comes to earth. And I didn't know several weeks ago at SOS, when Mark and Randy anointed me with oil, and Randy, I know, and I can't even remember exactly what you said, but you told me this would be a process that you're going to have, and he said, you told me not to take it in a negative way, but it's going to be a process of what is going on inside of me. And I remember having breakfast or meeting Mark, and I said, what was Randy talking about? I'm so excited. I feel so alive. What do you mean? I'm there. And I knew this morning what it was. It was this morning. Before you tell us all to kneel, I was about ready to kneel. I just couldn't be up anymore. I couldn't even sit anymore. And I know what it is, because I literally, and all of you right now, the kingdom's here on earth. And I, for the first time, the message that was burned in my heart that I've preached behind a pulpit or a mic, I wept for the first time with the Father's heart. I felt what he felt. And it's everything that's happening here this morning, I've seen it before it's been said. Steve, the sons and daughters are rising up. And the Father is just so happy and continues to weep. And
is excited about what is happening in the earth. I'm so grateful that he's allowed me to feel what he feels. Not about words, but sons and daughters, hearts wide open, changing the world. And I also have a message for us. We are too small right now. We're too small. There's still too many servants of Jesus. Not enough sons and daughters talking about their daddy. Talking about our Abba. Too many people talking about his lordship instead of talking about his fatherhood. Because he does, he wants sons and daughters to rise up, because that's what the earth he created wants so bad. I have seen the face of God in so many people in this building. And it's on all of you. I've just seen it more in some others just because I happen to be in contact with you. But that's, remember what God's glory is. It's us. It's what Corinthians was talking about. Unveiled faces. Like Moses, who lifted up the veil, you could see the face and glory of God in his face. It's not Moses anymore. That's the point of Corinthians. It's us, everybody in this room. We need to lift up the veil and show the world the sons and daughters of God are here to bring restoration back to the earth.
What Julia was saying is something I've been feeling for a few weeks now and wanted to really share this weekend, but I haven't been able to figure out like how to express it and open it up. But I don't know, a few weeks or a month prior, I was listening to a song and it was talking all about how, like, respecting the earth and nature and how we're all together, we're all the same people no matter what race we are. And you know, it just, like music often does, it touched me, and I'm like, you know, I really feel something from that. But I put it aside, and then one night I was sleeping and I dreamt that I was listening to the song somewhere publicly, and I was like weeping, like bawling, and I'm like, what is this? And then, like, right after I experienced all of that, to an event with Autumn and Casey and Diane. We went down to D.C. and there were a gathering of Native Americans that wanted to gather and like collectively forgive America for everything that the government and the people had done wrong to them as the first people. And I just thought it was really connected to what I'd been feeling about how the Native Americans were like so unconnected with nature and just creation itself was just like part of their everyday lives. And then they were discriminated and made out to be less than people and pushed away. And I just feel like their forgiveness at this time, with just the whole unsettled feeling that the world and America has with racial issues, is really important, because I don't think this is so much as like old hurts being stirred back up, but it's like a new thing coming, and it's just everything you do starts out a little ugly. It starts out real ugly, and then it gets a whole lot better, and the entire earth is just
I felt a few people squirm or flinch or like I can't take that on, can I really? And I love that you talked about this, because you know, sons really understand that earth doesn't carry them, but they carry the earth. And that goes for everything else. It's what I said about the paralyzed man on the bed. You know, we let our gifts carry us, our position carry us, all these things, you know, our gender, our race, whatever it is, we let those things carry us. And actually, sons get up and they pick up those things and they carry them. And that's what taking your place means. And that's how you walk in that healing. It's not, that thing is not carrying me, but I'm carrying that. So it's not something anymore, it's someone. And if we can't honor that or receive that honor, he can't get that honor. That reward that he desires, that we need to receive that honor so he can receive that. You know, that's how he gets it. And I just sometimes feel so awkward when the Lord comes and tells me stuff like that. Like, he'll put a priestly robe on me once and I'm like, I don't like glitter. I'm just awkward sometimes with the Lord, and he's like, okay, you'll get it. But this is like honor. And if you don't receive it, if you don't grow up, just like, you know, like when you see sometimes in the walkway, she didn't wear the dress wore her. That sort of feeling is what sometimes I feel with the stuff the Lord tells me. And I'm like, I think this is still carrying me, but I want to grow up to the point where I'm carrying. Not. And it starts with that progression as sons, as honoring who we are, as honoring what the Lord sees in us, what others see in us, and you really deeply, profoundly learn to receive that honor, not just to give it, which is something, but to receive it. And we talk a lot about honor and giving it. We don't talk about it enough in receiving it. And that's the deepest wounds we have, I think. Because we don't allow that honor to get deep enough into us and just say, you know, I really honor who you are, like deep inside. And I think that's how we get healed a lot of times. is by receiving that honor. And when I honor him, the Lord receives that just as if I did it to him. And so next time somebody kneels in front of you and says, I honor you, kings and priests and daughters, and you feel awkward about it, understand that that needs to go deeper than just the, yeah, I heard it, sounds good, but can't let it go anywhere inside because I don't really accept that. That's not how I see myself, and that's exactly what is sometimes keeping us from being healed. Not healed, I'm not talking about I have pain. Healed in how we see ourselves, identity. So, I'm so, there's so much, I'm so happy, proud that we can be here and that, yeah, I'm just really like, I don't even have words to say how much this family means to me and like what an impact you guys have had in our lives. And yeah, it's been worth everything. It's been worth the hard times, the pain, the process, the arguments, the stuff, late nights, no sleep, everything that goes with that, putting up with Phil. I was telling somebody today, it's such an honor for me to have been able to walk with you through your mess. I loved all of it. The snot, the tears, the mud, the anger. Just walking through that with you is the greatest honor. And sometimes even that, we don't allow people to just like, oh, okay, you're just saying that. No, I mean, I really mean it. I really, really mean it.
So, just briefly, there's Jay. This thing that hit Jay this morning, hit Jay this morning, we're just going to swap mics.
That's better, thanks. This heart of the Father, when it hit him, it hurt, didn't it? Yeah. And he felt everything going on inside. And I pulled this scripture up. It's in John 14. This is Jesus talking to Judas, his friend. Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we, that's really important, will come to him and make our abode with him. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode with him. And that's so important because he had already, in the verses previous to that, talked about he's not going to leave us alone in the Holy Spirit, and he was including the Holy Spirit in we. And when you have stuff like this that hits, you understand the reality of the love of the Father just came and made his abode with me. it was there. I didn't realize it, even though we had prayed for you and said what some of these things might happen. And you're just like, I got it. Because it wasn't here, it literally was inside. And it was this John 14, where literally everything that's in the Godhead comes and makes his abode. Not like visits, like literally makes his abode with us because of this love. And that's the only way that the sons and daughters can pick up that load. And if this doesn't happen, it just becomes a load that we carry. Because we've been talking about maturity, and sons and daughters and fathers and mothers, they carry a big load. But until this love, until this abode begins and this transition begins to come, it can become a really, really heavy load that you can't carry and are not supposed to. What's happened with so many of us over the years, and so many of all of you, whether they're watching from overseas or whatever, is the load we've been carrying, the responsibility we've been carrying, sometimes gets crushing because we have not allowed this to take place. This, I can't even say it any other way, but this weighty, crushing love of the Father comes in. Like what I did yesterday morning, if you weren't here, I don't even know if they recorded or not, but it was so crushing love. I was torn apart, and I did it intentionally to open up. And it's time to grow up. Gosh, that's really straightforward. But it is time to really grow up and walk your daily life, and for the rest of your life and generations beyond you, with this weight inside and this abode of literally the Father himself, the Lord himself, and his Spirit. And it's time for the sons to start carrying the load in a way that honors the Father. Because if we carry a load and it doesn't come with that foundation of the love of the Father, he's like, why are you doing this without me? I'm not saying don't carry the load. I'm saying do it in the right way. And when you stand up and you start doing these things as you're supposed to, so much life comes through it. You just walk into a room and life just is exposed because it's him and you've accepted, I'm just going to walk in it. And it's not just, you know, in your head, I'm just going to walk out as a son, and it sounds so easy. It's almost like trite. It's cheap, and it's not cheap. It's very expensive. I'm not talking about money. I'm talking about the cost of walking in this abode of the Father. And we have to continually be reminded. Again, that was another reason why we did what we did, of who we are and how awesome it is just to be who we are. But it's time to start. It's time to grow up to be able to carry this, what we have, and be able to spread it out. Not just in other countries, but right here where we are in every single day life. And if it doesn't translate into our life, to me, it's useless. It's just talk. I'm just like kind of black and white that way. It has to affect me. It has to affect my heart. It has to affect my wife, my kids, my business, my everything, the way I handle my money. That's why we talked about money last night for the first time ever in the States. That's why it has to affect literally every part of our life. And it is literally time. I was sitting there and I kept hearing over and over and over, it's time to grow up and carry the load. And the load's not on your shoulders. You've heard me say this before, and I asked the Lord one time, I'm like, how can we do this? How could, even in the Old Testament, how could an Old Testament prophet carry a nation? Not here, but here. Because it literally comes from inside him. How could Samuel carry a whole nation inside? How could the Lord carry entire humanity inside? And you have that ability. And some begin to carry it. And it has a tendency to, you know, be too much. And we're like, God, I just can't do this. It's too hard. It's too whatever. No, it's not. Because if he put it inside you, he trusts you with it. He absolutely trusts everything that he put inside you, and you can handle it, and you can steward it, and you can grow into the ability that he gave you to steward it and handle everything he put in there. So this abode I'm talking about, literally of, you can say, the Godhead, all of these things, he says, I'm going to come and I'm going to abide with you all through love. So if I can just tell you this last time, grow up. And I don't mean it in a bad way. I don't mean like, why don't you just grow up? No, that's childish to say that. Literally grow up, because I believe you can. I know you can, and I know he does. He, like a billion times more than me, because he's the one that gave it to you, not me. I just sometimes, like you guys, have the same ability to see this in other people and go, Jim, you've got it inside you. That's why I trusted in you, because he gave it to you. I didn't. And I can see how much he trusts you and how much he honors you. I'm talking about the Father. Therefore, I better do the very same thing. That's load. When I can see from his perspective, like Jay just did, when I can see his from his perspective and go, you got this, man. I believe in you. And then you hand it off. It's all you. Let's go. So, anyway.
About a half an hour ago, I was sitting in that chair, and the Lord took me back to when I was like 5 years old. And those were the days, some of you remember this, where you could actually leave your house by yourself and go play. Remember those days? I think I might have been five or six. And we were playing a couple blocks up from where I lived, and it was late afternoon. I was playing with a couple of my friends, and I think I remember sitting on a curb like this, and we were just tossing rocks against the other curb across the street, you know, just seeing if we could hit the curb and have it bounce back to us, just fun stuff like that. And then those were also the days where mom or dad would yell out the door, dinner's ready. Anybody remember that? I was just, the whole time I was sitting there like, oh man, those were good days. Didn't have to cook it or wash the dishes afterwards. So I remember running home, and we were having dinner, and then toward the end of dinner, there's a knock on the door of my house, and my dad goes to get the door, and it's another man, and I can hear like these angry words out on the front porch. But I didn't go out there, and my dad comes back in after about 4 or 5 minutes, and he is hot. Like, my dad is mad. And all of a sudden, I realize he's mad at me. Most of you have never met my dad, but he was 6'3". He was about 225 at that, 250 at that time. I'm like, oh my God. And I'm like, what? He goes, what were you doing before dinner? And I'm like, thinking back. I'm like, oh yeah, we were sitting there. We were throwing rocks. He was hitting them. Come back. So I told him what we were doing. He says, well, that man just came and said you broke his headlight of his car. I'm like literally in shock. Like, I don't remember this at all. Like, I don't remember. There wasn't even a car there. I mean, we were just throwing it, hitting the curb and coming back. There was no car there. And I'm like, I'm like, Dad, I did not do that. I must have told. I remember just sitting there at the table on my chair, and my dad keeps saying, "He said you did. He saw you do it." And he's kept saying this. I mean, I'm like, Dad, I didn't do it. I remember doing it. I actually felt like I wasn't even there, but I knew I was doing that with my friends. I never did find out what happened, but after dinner, my dad kind of drags me into the car. I don't want to make it sound like he abused me, but it felt like he was dragging me. And at that time, Kmart was like the store. I know. But at that time it was. And we went to the store and we bought a new headlight. And the whole time, my dad is just, oh man, angry. But he buys this headlight and we drive back and he makes me take the headlight to this guy's house, which is like three doors down from where we were throwing rocks. I wasn't even close to where I was. I had to knock on the door. I had to hand him the headlight and I had to tell him I was sorry. And he was fine. But my dad was still mad. And he paid for the headlight. I didn't have to pay for the headlight. But still to this day, I'm 40, almost 7 years old. And I at least once or twice a year, I try to conjure back up that memory. And I sit there and I go, do you remember hitting a headlight? This is 40 years later. And I'm still like trying to remember if I hit the headlight or not. Because I can tell you, if I broke a headlight, first of all, that's pretty good aim. First of all, and I was never very good aim. In fact, I think I remember hitting the curb. I was like, oh, there goes another one. I got to find another one because it never bounced back. And I realized as I was thinking about that, just sitting there, and I had people praying for me or just sitting there with me. And as I opened my heart to the Lord, He showed me that I have been living my life waiting for a broken headlight guy to knock on my door. At different times in my life, I sit there and I'm like, I'm waiting to get in trouble. And I'm not even doing anything wrong. This might not relate to anybody in here but me. So maybe I'll just open my heart up. But I remember recently, like, this is going to sound crazy. You're just going to have to judge. Hopefully I trust your hearts. Like, even when, like, if I'm home before dawn and I hear the garage door open, and I know Dawn's home, I do this. It's crazy. Like, I'm like, oh my God, am I doing anything wrong? It sounds funny, but I'm going to tell you what, it's slavery to me. And I just want to tell you today, I'm going to stop living that way. Yeah. And I, you know, even in my other parts of my life, like, I'm doing a thing, and I don't know if you've ever experienced this when I'm preaching or writing or teaching, but I find myself like saying, like, almost like these apologetic, oh my gosh, I'm going to get in trouble for this type statements. Everybody heard me ever do that? And I realize it's all part of the same deal. Like, I'm afraid I'm going to break your headlight. Instead of just being myself. Yeah, and I realized as I was sitting there listening to these guys talk today that sons don't wait to get in trouble. In fact, in some cases, they cause it. I'm tired, and I know I don't do this a lot anymore, but I do find myself at moments doing it at time to time where I actually hesitate or come back off of what I know I'm created to do because I'm afraid of the repercussion. I'm afraid of what it might do to somebody, or it might, or someone might misunderstand, or literally someone might come knocking on the door later to point the finger and say this. And I realized that if we really want to be sons and daughters, we just have to recognize that someone probably will do that at some point in time. It's just going to happen. So as your friend, as your brother, as a dad, I just want to tell you, I'm going to start living full force. Even in those moments where I'm concerned if someone is going to come knocking on the door. And I just want to encourage every one of you to do the same thing. That's really growing up. Growing up is saying, you know what, I might get in trouble, but I'm still going to do it. No, I'm serious. I think every one of us need to take that thing seriously right there. I might get in trouble, but I'm going to do it anyway. Because it's in here. It's in here. I am not going to be that six-year-old boy. Now, this is not an encouragement to any young boys in here to pick up a rock. Caleb, I saw you. There is something about rocks and boys, isn't it? Oh, yeah. Yeah. John, right? Yeah. The other thing that was impacting me while I was sitting there, I want to make sure I get this right. It's along the same lines. And it wasn't just for me, though. I think it applies to me, too. But I really felt it was for a lot of us. Let's stop doing things to do a good job. And let's start doing what's on the inside of our heart. I see this in people in my life a lot where they'll do a thing and I can feel the pull from them for me to tell them good job. And I realize that I have done that in the past in the name of encouraging, in the name of blessing them and as a good father or a good friend and tell, hey man, that was a great job. And I realize all I'm doing is propping up a performer. And I know I even do that at times. Like, I'm all right, I was pretty damn good. I'm waiting for someone to notice. But I realize now that I really don't need that anymore. Because I know that if I'm doing what's on the inside of my heart, I can feel the pleasure of my Father. And that is so much better than all of your attaboys or all of your pats on the backs or whatever it is. Because the pleasure of the Father does something inside of us that an outside pat can never do. That's a temporary fleeting drug. But the pleasure of the Father in a son is everlasting. It does not leave. It does not fade. But my attaboy to you, you're going to need one tomorrow. Yeah. So as a dad today, as a friend, as a brother, I just want to tell you, with everything on the inside of me, I think growing up, what Randy said, I think growing up is finally deciding that what's on the inside of you is worth being outside of you. It's worth it. And it's time for all of it to be known in the earth. It's one of my favorite things to encourage people with. May everything on the inside of you be known in the earth. I think that's the reward of his suffering. The full, complete you expressed in the earth. Regardless of the texts and emails and, wow, that was awesome. Because the pleasure of the Father, the fullness of the joy that we talked about earlier of the Father rises up on the inside of you. I mean, I don't know if you guys know this, but the rest of that Moravian story is they would say that on boats as they were leaving shore from England, knowing that they would never see their families ever again. And they would be shouting that back to shore, back to the families that were saying goodbye to their sons and daughters for the last time. I think we have to decide that we're sold out for this. We've said this all week, like pushing all our chips in, being all in. You don't push them all in for an attaboy. You put a few in. But when you start to experience the joy and the love of your Father, every time you get a chip, you're putting it in the middle. There is no saving it or building a barn for chips. You just... So for me, that's what growing up means, Randy. For me, it's everything in here has got to happen out here in you, in us. I want to see that happen. You want to say something?
Well, I was praying for you while I was just there, and it's, I was in your heart, and then I saw this huge crystal thing, and it looked just like a headlight, and I'm like, what is this thing? And it had holes in it, and I'm like, well, whatever it is, and you were there, like this small, walking around inside this headlight with the holes, and I'm like, maybe it's just hard. I don't know what it is, but Father, whatever it is, fix it. So he just healed it, and then I saw you go from this to huge, and then bigger than that. And I'm like, well, did you break that head? Either way. Love you, man. I'm not accusing you. But if you did break that, either way. Point is that if you live inside that headlight, you broke, or didn't break, you were accused of breaking. I don't know how to say this. If you're living inside that mistake, which makes you small, and the only way to grow out of that is to outgrow your mistakes. And then it's like, yeah, and it's easy to fix a broken headlight, but it's not easy to fix a person that feels this big. Because they're living inside their mistakes.
Yeah.
So I was like, man, when you shared that, I'm like, oh, that's what I was seeing. I'm like, I went too far out with my interpretation. It was a literal headlight. Mystical, huh? I got mystical.
Yeah, the other thing I wanted to say about that, and I'm really glad you confirmed it, is the problem with that moment at 6 years old is that up to 47 years old, I would still have moments thinking I'm a liar. And it's an identity that I would every once in a while live with. Even when someone would ask me a question and I would tell them exactly the truth, there would still be this shred of, you're lying. And it's like in that moment as I was sitting there, I realized how a false identity hides the true. And if you want to talk about growing up, if we really want to take that challenge that we were just given, I want to tell you, you have to shed what convinces you of who you're really not and who you really are. There are so many things that are shrouding this girl right here, this one, me, that are hiding who we know we are, and it's looking back at us and saying, no, you're not. And it's not the enemy as the devil, we've called it. It's a thief in our lives, and it's stealing from us. Stealing. Just close your eyes with me. Father, we're before you right now. And as we are before you, if you have to, pick up our chin so that we can look at you. And know that you're not the angry guy knocking on the door. But you're the Father who trusts us. Who believes on what's inside of us. And we trust your belief in us enough to step out of those false identities that have caused us to act with caution, with trepidation. With knee pads and elbow pads and helmets so that we won't feel the potential pain of our faith. Today, Father, we shed everything. That keeps us from growing into the fullness that belongs to the measure and the stature of your Son. We even shake off things that we think we're victims of. I shake off experiences of the past. I shake off people's attitudes and feelings. I shake off my own depression, thinking I'm a victim of it. Just take a moment right now in the Father, before Him, looking at Him, beholding Him with that unveiled face, and let Him show you what you can take off. So that you can truly be naked and unashamed. Father, you give the growth. The life to grow is given by you, and it's inside of us. Still our choice to grow. So if you do one last act with me, could we all stand together? And in that act of standing, feel the change in you, in your body, in your joints, even in the mentality shift that happens just in moving your body. That's what growth feels like. It feels different in the moment, but at the same time, it's like, oh, a new position, a new perspective. So Lord, as we stand before you today, resurrected in your life, we'll maintain this position and we will move forward and we will respond to your heart and we will respond to the cry of the groaning of creation that longs for the same freedom we are enjoying. We cannot keep this to ourselves. The earth wants what we have. The freedom that belongs to the children of God is for all. It's for all. And it's not just even for humanity. It's for the plants and the rivers and the mountains and the creation and even the galaxies want to experience the freedom inside of us. I will not be selfish with this glory anymore. Tell him. Show him with your life that you're not going to keep this under a bushel basket. That's why sometimes he has to break the vessel so the glory gets where it was meant to. We're not even afraid of the breaking, Lord. Come on, tell him. Tell him you're not afraid of it. It'd be good. It's going to be good because then the glory comes and it releases into the very groaning that longs for it. And so from here on out, Lord, every time we feel pain, it's not going to be weakness leaving the body, as that lovely saying goes. It's going to be glory leaving the body. Pain is just glory leaving us to the very places that need it. And may pain be a reminder of how we're growing. So I say as a dad, glory, do not stay in this place. Love of the Father, glory of God, do not stay in this vessel. Do not stay in this building. Do not stay in man-made things. Go. Be freed in us and through us to accomplish what you were sent to do. We will not leave you alone, earth. Just in the same way, Jesus never leaves us or forsakes us. We take that on as a mandate for ourselves, and we say to the earth, we will not leave you. We will not forsake you. Forgive us for wanting to escape you and get out of here and go to a better place. You are our better place. We will not leave you. We will not forsake you. We will give ourselves to you because we are sons and daughters of our Father. And you are our family. You are ours. And for too long, we've wanted to get away from our destiny. You are it. You are it. You are our home. And until we start thinking that way, we'll have walls up and we'll have separations. You are our home. You're our home. Just like Father is home to us, you must experience home in us. And we will choose to make you our home so you can experience what it feels like to be loved as we're loved. So as an act of our will, we open ourselves up to you, earth. We open ourselves up to you. We grow up. We'll endure the pain. We'll even endure the cross because you're the hope set before us. Just like when Steve said it, that the people on the cross were Jesus' hope, so are you to us. So we'll endure this pain, whatever it takes for us to mature, whatever it takes for us to grow and shed what needs to be shed. You're worth it. You're worth it. So we give ourselves to you. Not as a religious moment in a building, but as a living reality after we leave. We give ourselves to you. We open ourselves up and we give ourselves to you. And the Son in us, Jesus in us, Christ in us, will invade your life. I speak courage into every soul in this room. I speak courage because it won't be as easy as this moment or this weekend was. You'll run into walls. You'll get a lot of headbutts. You'll get bruises on your nose and on your forehead as you open yourself up and run into people. Keep loving. Be courageous with your love. Be persevering with your love. Be irritatingly, stubbornly involved with your love. Don't give up. Don't give up. Don't get despondent when it's not responded to right away. Know that love is just like water. It wears down over time. You experienced it yourself. You remember. Remember it for others. I've discovered this in my life, that God takes a long time to do something suddenly. That's why love is patient. So let it be so with us, that we will patiently be with the earth as she becomes free.
Thanks for being with us as we encounter and reveal the person of Jesus. To connect with us, visit whocenterpa.com.